What else could be more important right now than being in the house of God? I mean, really, right now. And I'm not talking about just at 1 o'clock. I'm just talking about Sundays and Wednesdays in general. There's nothing. And by the grace of God, it's only by the grace of God, me and my wife don't miss anymore. And if we do, we go. We have a church. We have churches planned out all over where we travel that we're going to hit a church up if we're out. That's just how, I'd rather not be out of the house of God. I'd rather be here listening to see what God has for me, because without it, we'd get all messed up. Our first day in Albany was, it just started out horrible. I said, let's just stop and pray right here. We're gonna stop, we're gonna pray, see what's going on. And things went pretty smooth after that, wouldn't you say? I mean, things just went a lot better after we prayed. It's just a spiritual battle. So why wouldn't I want to be in church to get fed? You see, this world ain't that important to me anymore. Ain't nothing in this world more important than being here. And I wish everybody could get that, but there was a point in my life that I didn't have that straight. I didn't think church was that important. I came when I wanted to and didn't go when I didn't want to. And I thank God for salvation and Him changing that in me. Otherwise, I'd be in the same boat. But anyway, where we're going to start off is, for the last few weeks, the Lord's been just hammering on this salvation. True Bible salvation, what happens after salvation, things that change after salvation. And now here's something else. When God sends us out in the world, after salvation, He doesn't take us out of this world. We're going to start in John 17. John 17, 15 is going to be where I'm going to start off. But I know after salvation, it would be a wonderful thing if God took us out of here and just go to heaven. We don't have to worry about the trolls, but He doesn't do that. And I'm going to show you what He says here in John 17, verse 15. John 17, 15. The word says in John 17, 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. He's talking to His disciples here, but it's clear that when people get saved, He's not just lifting us up out of the earth. He's leaving us here, and there's a reason. But you see, Jesus' prayer goes even farther than that. He says, they're not leaving the world right now, but I just pray that you keep them from evil. To me, that just shows me that there's some things going on in this world that Jesus wants to protect us from. There's just some things in this world that he's out there and He's warning us about, that even brings to, listen to me, that Jesus goes ahead and prays. There's something that's so important that Jesus goes ahead and He prays to the Father, protect them from evil. No, they're not coming out of this world right now, Father, but please protect them from that evil. You see, Jesus is up there. He's our intercessor right now. And He's up there for those that are serving the Lord, those who are saved, those who are saved, and He's praying for them. He's up there and He's saying, listen, God, please help them. Protect them from this evil. Just keep them from these things. Because He knows. Even Paul knew it in Romans, where he says, the things that I don't want to do, I do now. And things that I don't want to do, and I'm paraphrasing, that I do. There's a spiritual battle going on with that flesh. And you know what? We need Jesus on our side. We need His help to get us through these things. And people are leaving that out of their life. They're not praying to Him. They're not getting on their knees and on their face seeking what He wants. They're not in the Bible saying, seeing what He wants. There's too many things out in this world that are much more important. But I'm just telling you now, He leaves us here and He sends us out into this world. Listen, He doesn't have to sing overseas and everything else. And I'm all good with that. Wherever God sends somebody, that's where they should be. He knows where they should be. I'm not down in that. But I'm just telling you now, when you get saved, you might not be called to go anywhere, but right here where you are.
Right.
There's not enough evil in this area right now. Can we speak that right now? Does everybody shake their head and say, no, there's no evil here? That's a lie. See, there's enough evil out here in this world, so when He sends us out, you don't think Jesus knows that? He prayed it right there. He says that Jesus prays for those who are left here in this world. He says, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but thou shalt keep them from evil. We are here to live among those who are lost, and that can be a scary place for a Christian, but even more scary for somebody who's not saved. Or excuse me. Somebody who just got saved. Here we are. See, people are putting notches on their belt. They're reading these people, the Romans Road. Yeah, you got saved. And then they're walking away from them and leaving them there. Maybe somebody did get saved. You're just going to leave that person out there. Not going to train them. Not going to show them anything. Not going to know them. Just going to leave them out there to struggle on their own. A new Christian has no clue. They have a desire in their heart. I know somebody. I'm not going to say no names. But I know somebody who maybe got saved, who has a desire in their heart. They may not be doing it right, but there's nobody spending time with that person either.
Amen.
She knows who I'm talking about. People say, let's leave people to, Jesus, let's get them saved. Let's, get that notch on our bond, and we're just going to leave them. That's That's a scary place. Thank God we have a man of God who preached the word. Thank God we have somebody who comes to our doorstep. Thank God somebody has somebody who calls us or texts us and yell at us. And tell us, hey, something ain't going right here. You're not doing so. Thank God we had that for ourselves, because you know what? I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. But that's what most people are out there doing. They're leading these people to Christ, hundreds and hundreds, and they're doing nothing with them. Nothing. They're leaving them out there to float around. They don't even go check on them anymore. Oh, they ain't show up to church. Oh, look at, they ain't show up to church. And they'll preach against them people, but yet you left them out there to be on their own.
Right.
Scary place to be. I'm just telling you, it's a scary place to be for a Christian, even more scary for someone who just got saved. Let's take a look at what God has to say when he sends us out to live in this world. Joshua 1:9. There's quite a few verses I'm going to go through today, but man, I just believe it was a blessing that the Lord gave me. Joshua 1:9. If I can get to it myself. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That's one thing we have to understand is when our truck started acting up and started breaking down, one of the things that the Lord has taught me and Amy, and we don't always get it right, but the Lord's with us. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's nothing we can do to change it. We can pray, have a good attitude about it, thank God for what's going to happen or whatever, and then just let Him take it. We can't do anything about it. There's nothing me and you were going to do about that truck acting up. I couldn't get out and fix it. I'm no mechanic. God had to get me home. God had to take and change our heart. Just he had to change a lot of things in our life to be able to get to that point, though. I mean, like Pastor said this morning, purging. We go through a lot of purging, me and Amy. I'm not complaining about it. It's hard. It's not always something fun to go through. But there's something that we have to wake up to. There's some kind of, for some reason, something might go on. I mean, just things happen for a reason. But wherever you go, you have to remember, God is with you. For a saved person, we get out there and we just start living all kinds of craziness. We don't care. We don't take anything in consideration. We forget that God is watching us. We think that we're really invincible. That nobody's seeing any of this. The most important person in the world is seeing you, and that's God. He's watching everything. You can't listen. He knows your heart. The Bible says He knows your heart. What do you think you're going to get away from? If He can see into your heart physically, what do you think you're going to get away? He's with you no matter where you go. Is that what the Bible just said? It says in verse 9 that God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Maybe other people aren't seeing you, but God is seeing that. God knows where you're at. God knows where you're at. Montgomery's, God knows exactly where you're at. Spencer's, God knows where you're at. God knows where every person in this world, He knows what's going on in your life. Don't think He doesn't know. He's the one who does know. We think we know we have it wrong every single time. Go ahead and start doing stuff yourself. God proved to you time and time again you're doing it wrong. He knows where to sit. He knows where we need to be. We don't want to think He knows. We don't want to be where He wants to put us. When I got saved, nobody could have ever told me, Dale, the stuff you're going to go through now is going to be some pretty hard stuff. You could have never told me that after salvation. I believe it now. But I also know in my heart. I'm comforted in my heart. And when I tell you this, that I'm comforted in my heart, I know there's purposes. I know there's a reason for it. For everything He's done in my life. Never been easy, but I know why. He was there. This is the training. This is what you need to do. This is where we've got to go. This is what needs to come out of your life. I looked at Amy yesterday and said, Amy, there are things in our life that we just cannot do that others can. It's not going to happen for me and you anymore. That's a hard realization to come to in your life. You just can't do that. Listen, God, somebody put, God created us all equal. I said, man, let me tell you something. He may have created us all equal, but He's not going to treat us all equal. You're not going to stay the same person you were. You're going to be what He wants you to be. You're not going to be what you want to be. He didn't save you to save the person you are. He has come into your life to make you something He wants you to be. We think that, God isn't changing me because I want to change. God's changing me to make me the man He wants me to be. If I ever get that twisted, I might as well just walk out and be done with it all. This is not for me. This is not the life that I would have chosen for myself. I would have made it nice and easy, sitting in a church somewhere, collecting money and doing it. This is not what I've chosen if I had my choice. You see, that's where we get it twisted. We think God is doing it for us. He's doing it for Him. Yeah, we do get the reward. We get the benefits from it. But He's really doing it for His glory. Just think about the glory God gets for some area of your life when you're really living it the way you're supposed to. Think about the glory of the people who are watching you saying, Just think about what, you know, God, how God can use you and what He wants. Now just imagine if He left you to yourself. I know if He left me to myself within 24 hours, it'd be an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Absolute mess. And I've been there plenty of times, and I'm just getting tired of being in that mess. I thank God He puts me through that, but I'm just saying, God knows where we are. Deuteronomy 31:6. God sent us out into this world after salvation. He didn't take us out of here, but He knows where we're at. He knows what He's doing. We don't. No, that's why we had to get saved. You think about it. Did we really know what we were doing before salvation? No. Thank God He saved us and then He started. He knows what He's doing. Thank God we have an all-knowing God. Take Him out of the box once in a while and put Him to use. People put God in the box and expect Him to do something in your life. You got to trap in this little tiny box. And only when things go wrong, only when things go right, you want to use them. You want to take them out of that box and set them out somewhere where you can see them. Listen, do it in good and bad times. I guarantee there's a good reward for that. I'm not saying He's going to make you rich and, you know, He's going to do this. Listen to me. When you start trusting God and taking Him out of that box and living for Him and knowing Him all the time, every second, praying, thanking Him. How many of you guys are praying in bad times and thanking God for your bad times? How many? That's a hard, if it's not a hard lesson. God has put me and my wife through a lot. When we come to the point, and it's not every single thing we don't have it right clear. I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying we've come to the point where we can start thanking God through things. You start thanking God through the stuff you're going through, He'll take you out the other side.
Amen.
You have to realize, you gave Him all control when you got saved. You said, Lord, I'm ready to surrender for myself for You. I know I'm a lost sinner. I'm dying, going to hell. I'm Yours now. Oh, I'm Yours now. When you say those words right there, be ready. You know what? I'm just telling you. Be ready for the stuff that's going to come in your life, Randy. You ever surrender yourself to the Lord, and you just watch what happens to you in your life. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. And God's been doing some work in your life. I agree with Pastor. I mean, I agree with a lot of the kids that are going on in this church. A lot has happened to these young people, man. A lot. God has been working hard in this church, man. We've been working against them, though. As parents, we know we work against our kids. Come on. It shows. We do it all good here. We do all good, you know. And when we get home, things change. We're all guilty of doing that kind of stuff. I was talking to somebody earlier. I said, do you want to know the secret? First of all, you got to be saved. God wants you to be saved. Then He's going to start bringing you to a different place. But let me, here's a little secret. I was talking to my wife about this. I was so afraid of my anger. I would cry because I was so fearful of my anger that I was so afraid that I was going to hurt somebody again. You know what God did to me? He started popping. When I just started getting mad, and God would awaken me to that one second. Right there, Dale. Get that. And once I started grasping that, I'm angry. Okay. Now what's my next step? Okay, now we got to move down. Now you got to stop doing the things you used to do. Now you realize you're angry. Now you realize that something's about to happen. Let's change that around. And step by step by step by step by step, God has taught me to never react on my anger. Easier said than done. Trust me. But God has took me through step by step of retraining my brain on how to react in anger. They had me on this medicine, some of you might have heard of it, it's called Depakote. It's for people who have seizures because my anger was so intense that they saw that I was having many seizures in my brain. That's how quick and angry my anger was. So they put me on this stuff called Depakote, and it would help me just slow down enough where I'd be able to make a decision, a rash decision, not an angry decision. Well, guess what? I'm not on any of that. So who do you think has become that medicine now for me? Jesus has come in and He's become that Depakote, and He went and gave me that one second that I needed, and He walked me through step by step and took me off that stuff so now I can think when I'm angry. It was a hard job. It wasn't something that came overnight. Sometimes I still might mess up, though, aren't I, Amy? But it's not what I used to be. My kids are not afraid of me. My wife's not afraid of me. I get angry, but I don't get angry like that. I don't throw stuff, beat people up, swear and cuss. I just don't do that stuff. God has taught me how to react different. Why? Because He gave me that one second, that one chance. Go ahead. This is where we're starting right here. But you know what? Number two. How many times have you all sat down and said, Lord, I am so ready to give this up. He's laughing at you. He knows for sure you are not ready. Because you know why? In the next 10 seconds, something happened, you'll react to it your own way. He goes, there you go. How ready were you to give it up? Were you really that willing to give it up? I just gave you, you said how willing you were to give this up, and then 10 seconds later you turn around, there it is, bang, it's all right there. You never gave it a second. You never gave it a second. You have to have a true willingness in your heart to give anything up. It doesn't have to just be anger. I mean, anything. You really want to get rid of something in your life? Tell God you want to get rid of it. Be ready. He's going to come bring you a test. He'll show you how willing you really are. He will show you how willing you really are to get rid of it. It's not going to just happen here or on the streets or when people are around. It's going to happen behind closed doors. That's where the test is going to come. That's where that test is going to come. And he sends us out into this world. He knows where we're at. Deuteronomy 31:6. He says, be strong with good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Who's them? That's some unsaved people, man. That's some people who are out there living that wicked life. He knows that. Why do you think Jesus prayed to protect us from evil? I mean, more than ever, Christians, you know, we're kind of incognito. There's not many Christians who will go out there and claim to be a Christian because they're afraid of the persecution. But Jesus knew that. He said, protect them from evil. Listen, just step out. You stepped out as a sinner. You stepped out as a lost person who lived for help. Go ahead and step out and live for Jesus. He'll protect you. If not, you go to heaven. I mean, what? There's nothing. You ain't got much to lose. You ain't got much to lose. Step out and live that life. You know what? People always, you know, I'm so afraid of what people are going to think of me and this and that. You know what? Who cares? Who cares what they think? They're not going to help you in your eternity. They are not going to help you when you're in the flames of hell burning. Okay? They're not paying your bills right now. They're not there making sure you and your kids have air. Listen, forget what they think. But God has taken me and used me, and I'm not afraid to tell anybody what I am. I'm not afraid to live my life or what I am. And people accept me. They do, don't they? And she goes, how do you just sit there and people come up and talk to you? I said, you know, it's the way my demeanor is now, the way I dress now, all that has come into play. God has done all that. It's nothing that I've done. Okay, I realize that. I wish everybody would realize it's nothing that I've done. It's what God has done to me to open doors. Here we are. Boom, we're all out in Albany. This lady just starts talking to me and Amy. She's got a grandson. He's on his deathbed. The poor guy's 10 years old. Not going to make it. He's got some incurable disease. And here she is pouring her heart out to us. And why did she just start talking to me and Amy? What all these other people were around? There must have been something about it. There must have been something. Bad thing. I got to call and make sure I get a hold of her. We couldn't find her. I wanted to give her one of my prayer cards. And she had checked out before we got there. Now, I know where she works. Why? She's the manager at McDonald's in Fultonville. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. What's the chances of that? I'm going to call the number. She works 4 to 12. I'm going to call when she's on shift, give her our contact info, bam. That's how I'm going to keep in touch with her.
I like it.
You know, that's just something God does. People that used to just walk up to me, and now they didn't walk up to me, and I mean, gosh. But I'm just saying, God knows. He said, Jesus knew. He prayed for protection for us here on earth because he knows how hard it's going to be for us to walk here. He never said it was going to be easy. Show me in the Bible where it says that Christianity is going to be easy. Show me. He says it's so hard. He says it's going to be so hard. I'm going to pray. He says, endure hardness as a what? A good soldier. There must be something to that. It's the hardest, best life you'll ever live, though. It just is. I can't explain. I know it sounds insane. What do you mean it's hard? Why do I want to do it? Because it's such a blessing. The hardest you go through is something totally different than you've ever been through in your life. And it's so much different. It's so much easier. So much better. Because when you come out of that lesson, when you come out of whatever God's showing you, it is such a relief to be out of that. It's such a relief to be a different person than you were 10 days ago, a week ago, a month ago. However long it took God to get that out of your system. It's just so different. I'm still amazed that I don't smoke. You guys, Tanya, you guys know Deb, you guys know how bad. I just can't believe it's not even part of my life anymore. That's something that I could just never have done. Just happened one day, God just got in my heart, and that was it, man, Amy. It was it together. He didn't make us do it separate. Oh, I can't quit, she ain't quit. Well, God said, here you go. You both do it the same day. We got victory the same day. That's a miracle to me. I'm still happy about that. I still am happy about that. I mean, it carries me through some hard times still. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm not on pills. My goodness, just the things that are so different in my life now, these little things that God has just brought me from. I go through a lot to get there, though. You know why? Because I fight in the flesh. My flesh still wants to be there. You know? But my gosh, thank God. Thank God when you go somewhere and your kid acts so different, you look around and go, whew. You know your children are just so different because you look around and go, whoa, them poor people. We're at a birthday party, and I mean, these parents are running. All, I'm like, oh my. Amy goes, babe. I said, yeah, I thank God for spanking. Thank God for spanking kids, man. You know, if they would just learn that. Our granddaughter, she's out of control. She was out of control. And a few times, we laid the hammer down on her rear end. You know what? She cried for about 10 seconds and then absolutely loved. She just kept saying, Papa, you're so sweet. I mean, she absolutely fell in love with me and Amy. During the whole party, she wanted to hang out with me and Amy. And I said, why? She wants correction. That little kid wants it. She wants to be corrected. She wants somebody to take control of her life because she's out of control. She doesn't know what to do with it. If you think for one second your kids are hating the spankings, it might hurt for 1 second or 10 minutes or whatever, but your kids are begging for it. They want somebody who can help control their life. You know why? Because then they'll grow up to be people like me, if not. Somebody who begs somebody just to take control of my life and please get me out of this mess. Please take me out from what I am. Please, I don't want to be this. As Dale Laurie, as God is my witness, I did not want to be the person I was. It was not a comfortable, good, fun life that I lived. I wish to God somebody would have got into me, got into my mother's heart, my mom's life, anybody, anything, and just took me and got control of me once in my life. Think about that. The next time your kid's out of control, man, you got to control them kids. You have to for their good. It's not going to hurt them. They get a little spanking. They'll cry for a minute. You guys looking on them, they'll start crying. I said, guys, just turn on and take your spankings for your own good. And they'll look at me and be crying. I mean, gosh, Autumn, she breaks my heart when she cries. But you know what the thing is? The Bible says don't spare the rod because they're crying. You know why? You're going to hurt them. You're going to hurt them by doing that. And I look at her and I said, well, God, you know what? Do your tears bother me? Do your tears bother me, Luke? No, you're getting your spanking. Why? Because I love you. And I want what's right for you. And it's going to hurt for 10 seconds. But then it'll be over with. Then we'll get stuff right and it's done. Now, I can go somewhere, and my kids will act like they're supposed to act. One of the things me and Luke are working on right now is do not act like a different person when you're somewhere else. Because sometimes he'll get out of control. He'll act totally different than he ever does. And I don't like that. I just despise that. So me and him work hard on him being the same person where he's at. Okay, no matter where he's at. Because there's certain things he won't do anywhere. He'll get around somebody or a certain person and just start acting crazy. Nope, I don't expect him to be perfect. He's a kid. He's allowed to do kid things and that. But there's also a line that you have to draw that he's got to be showing some things, okay? Teach your kids that. It's important. I don't know why I got off on that, but God knows. Be strong, good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord God, thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Wherever God sends us, he promises us that he'll never leave us. God knows. He knows when we have to be. He knows, you know, it hurts us when we have to correct our kids. Do you not think it hurts God when he has to correct us? It bothers him. But you know, for his righteousness, for who he is, his holiness, and what he stands for, he has to do that. He's not going to turn his cheek out of saying, listen, I'm his child. He calls me the child of the Most High in his word. I'm a child of God. I'm his. I belong to him. He bought me with that blood and this and that. But you know what? He's not for 1 second going to wink at me and my sin and who I am and what I am. He's not for 1 second going to compromise on his holiness and his righteousness because I want to get away with something. He is not going to do that. He's not going to turn his back on me. He's not going to go ahead and say, go ahead, Dale, do what you have to do. Go ahead and live your life. He's not doing that to me. He's not going to compromise for me. He didn't compromise on that cross. He didn't compromise when he was in the flames of hell. He knew what he had to do. He's not going to compromise on your behavior either. People out there living, yeah, I'm a Christian and live any way you want. There's two things that's going to happen. Number one, if you're saved, God's going to take you out as a Christian and you keep living your life that way. Number two, you may not be saved. Don't tell me you're a Christian and live a life full of hell. I don't believe it. I just don't. I'm sorry. The Bible tells me otherwise. The Bible tells me, and I'll give you one verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells you that you're going to be a new person. Over and over again, if you go ahead and read that Bible, it tells you you're going to be a different person, have different actions, different ways in your life. Things are going to become different. That's the change that salvation brings.
Amen.
All this other garbage, I don't understand it. God put something new in my heart. I mean, something new in my heart. I'm not perfect. Nobody's on me. Pastor's not at my house harping on me and calling me and all that. No, me and God, I do. I get a lot of wisdom from him. Don't ever think I don't. I love him. I was just in the office talking to him because I have to get his wisdom. I ask him before I even ask him. If I don't ask him before I do anything, I don't know the Bible well and all that. I'm learning all that stuff. He is the man of God that God put in charge of me and my life. God saved me. And I have to tell you something. I answer to him. I respect him. I love him. I will do anything for that man. Anything. But he is not standing over me and whipping me. God is.
Right.
But now he'll correct me if he needs to be. I take it. If there's something he wants to share with me or tell me maybe I said something wrong or crossed the line, he tells me and I take that. Why? Because God has put him in charge of my life. I listen to him. And people who don't listen to him, you have some serious issues. I'm not saying he's perfect, but God put him here for a reason. God put a King James Bible in that man's hand and put that knowledge into his head for us. And we want to abuse it. Oh, I'm not listening. I'm not doing what he says. Okay, well then you know what? Nobody's ever been able to tell you what to do, and nobody ever will be able to tell you what to do. But he'll try over and over again. Thank God he was persistent with me. Thank God. And I got broke. God broke me. God broke me. The Lord says he is with us. And by faith we must believe him. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. That's a problem today. Nobody respects their pastor. Nobody respects the man in charge. They think they know everything. They think, you know, God set things in order. God brought Pastor John Esmond into our life, into our church to be our pastor, and we should respect that. I'm not saying he's holier than thou or that he can walk on water, but God has put him in charge of our spiritual life, our spiritual well-being, and we should listen to a man like that. There's a reason for God appointed him as our pastor. There's a reason. And just think about all the big, humongous places in this whole entire world or nation where that he could have been put, that God could have, but he chose Black Creek. There's something to that, man. There's something dear to my heart, man. I'm not trying to puff his head up. Or he knows what it's like not to get. He don't want to be puffed up. But God put a pastor in our life that loves us, and he will do anything for us, praise for us, sit there and take the crap that we unleash on him. I mean, some serious stuff. I mean, I've raised up on him a couple times. I'm going to punch him and just swear in front. I've seen him sit there and have people spit at him and everything else. You know what? For what? It's not for the pay that he gets here. There must be a love in this awful people, man. There must be something that he knows that's in this Bible that can change people's lives. That he strives week after week, after month, year after year in this Bible. There must be something. He knows there's something to it. He's not just up here giving you the Word of God for his benefit. It's for yours. And God put him in charge of that. Is that something? For those who have gotten really serious with the Word of God, for those who have gotten really serious with putting this church in your life and living what God would have you do and listening to the man of God when you need some wisdom and praying about things, things change in your life. It's impossible for it not to because you have God in there. Jesus comes in there and things have to change. It's got to be different. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, listen to me, without faith is impossible. It's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of him. And here's the word everybody hates, diligently seek him. Nobody likes to diligently seek God. They just want the rewards. They don't want to have to do the work. They don't want to have to get on their knees and pray and read and go to church. And you know, let me tell you something. After salvation, being a diligent Christian is not an issue. It's not even a problem. You know, Autumn, we're just about home. And she's like, Daddy, what's tomorrow? What day is tomorrow? I said, Sunday. She goes, oh, good, we get to go to church, yay! That's, you know, why? Because me and her aren't going around complaining that we have to go, oh, we got to go to church, got to get up in the morning, got to go get ready, got to go to church, oh, got to go sit there for 4. We don't do that. We're happy about going ourselves. We need to get fueled up. So what do you think that runs off for our kids? They're excited about coming to church. They like hanging out with all the kids that are here. They love their kids that are here. Yeah, Luke's got to work on some issues, and he'll get there. Right, bud? He knows. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith. It's impossible. Impossible. It will not happen. You have to have faith that when God sends you out, he knows what he's doing. You have to have faith that when God brings you and stands you on the very edge of where you just think, and I've been there quite a few times, and I'm sure I've got a whole lot more coming, that I just can't do it no more. I just can't make it. I mean, on the verge of an absolute mental breakdown, that God's going to get me through it. I'm going to come out the other side. I've been there. To the point where it was almost a month ago now, my wife said, "Dad, I've never seen you like this. Look at me today. Did I come out of it, hon? Pill free, alcohol free, cigarette free, anger free. I came out of the other side okay." It's the faith of having that God is just going to get you through it. You know what? What else do you have to believe and trust? What else is ever working in your life? Tell me, what else has worked in your life? Why would you want to trust in anything else? You know, everybody in here is old enough to know, except for the little ones, to know that nothing in your life that you've ever done has ever worked good for you. But what God has done has prospered and left, just has built your faith second to none.
Amen.
So why trust anything else? Why? It doesn't make sense to me, so it's impossible. You know, let's just get off ourselves for once in a while and go ahead and get on God. Get into faith. I mean, let Him do it in your life. I know, Tiffany, it seems impossible right now, but I'm telling you right now, with God, all things are possible. You're looking at a man who, I'm just telling you now, the world has thrown me away. Nobody wanted anything to do with me, and now look at me today. Man, it's nothing that I've done. It's what He has done. It's everything that God has done. We were throwaways, and God said, "You're not a throwaway. I'm taking you. I'm going to do something with you." And now I don't have a problem making friends, going to people's houses. I get invited to places and everything else. And I wouldn't trade that life for the world. I wouldn't trade it to go on a vacation. I wouldn't trade it to be anywhere else but where I am today. Go ahead. My house can crumble and everything else can go along with it. But you know what? We're going to be okay. Somehow, some way, me and my wife had just learned how to squirm through it and know that whatever happens, we're going to get through it. There's a reason. We'll look at each other and go, "Well, there must be a reason. There's something going on, hon." And you know what? We haven't even been through what other men of God have been through. You hear the stories of what pastors have been through and other men of God. We haven't been close to that kind of stuff. I mean, we've been out and picked up cans and bottles before. It's gotten that bad for us. But how bad? You know, think about the people in the Philippines and China and Korea. I mean, think about Vietnam, Tiana, what they go through and the letters you're getting. I mean, just think about what they go through to serve God.
Paul says, I'm pretty sure it was Paul that said it. He says, "Have you strived yet to bloodshed? Have you strived so much that you're just bleeding all the time that your brother?" He has. He did. Over and over and over again. And there's been a God in here that we've come in contact with who go through that a lot. Who have gone through it. How God trained them to go through that stuff. You hear about the pastor in the Philippines, how they got sick and all that kind of stuff that they went through. I didn't go through that stuff. That's hard. That's hard stuff. I'm just telling you, having faith that God's going to get you through it, man. That's the victory. That is a victory. God's going to get you through that. I'm telling you right now, He'll get you through it.
When you think all else is impossible, that's where God wants you, right there. He wants you to think that it can't be done.
That's right.
Why? Because then you give up on yourself and let Him do it.
I'm not playing with you when I say that. I mean, I am saying that serious as a heart attack. God has to bring every person to the point where they realize, "I just can't do it no more." Bang, there you go. Come on, my turn. And He's going to take care of it. Let him
just take the wheel and drive it where He's got to take it, man. Enjoy the ride. It gets hard, it gets bumpy, but it always smooths back out. Yes, Amy, or no? Am I just lying? Am I just up here being a fool full of hot air saying stuff? No, I'm not.
Because I'm telling you right now, you got to let God take the wheel. Get to that point. Let Him bring you to that point where you just think there's no hope. It's over with. It just can't happen. This will never get out of my life. This is never going to happen. And He jumps in that driver's seat and He says, "All right, let's roll. I'm ready." And you're like, "What? Really?" And you come out the other side, you're like, "All right, let's do this," you know? And then the next one, you know, it's a little easier. Then it's easier. Then He'll hit you with a hard one. Then it gets a little easier. Then He'll hit you with a hard one. You know, but that has to happen in our lives. If not, we're just going to stay here. We're going to be the same old miserable poop head that we've always been. I'm trying to clean up my words. It's pretty funny, though. I mean, people had bets on it and everything. We're going to leave it online. I mean, that was funny. I'm going to read one more. Joshua 20:29. I didn't even get to it all, but John 20:29. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." That's that faith that Jesus is looking for in you. Listen, I can't hold Jesus physically. I have never seen Him. The only time that I will see Him is in heaven, or number two, there's another way you can say that's in people's lives. I see the works of Jesus in people's lives, but it's not Him physically. But we believe. He says, "Blessed are those who have that kind of faith." But hey, listen, I serve a God
I've never laid my eyes on Jesus, the nail prints or anything, but by he's put a faith in me. You see, Jesus puts a faith inside a person that helps them to believe that. Thomas, he's told Thomas that clear as day. He goes, Thomas, you see me and believe. But now he's going to take that believer, that one who gets saved, he's with that same kind of faith that as Jesus was standing here. Just right now, as Jesus was standing here, that's the kind of faith that I have, that Jesus is in my life. That's the kind of faith he was trying to give to Thomas. Thomas, you see me. But there are those who have not seen me. They're blessed. That's what a believer gets. They get that blessed and that belief that he's really in their life. I've come to the conclusion that there's no other way that I'd be the person I am unless it was Jesus living in me. No way. Jesus has put that faith inside of me that he is in me. You see, you believe there's somebody living inside you, beside you? Yes, I do. Why? Because Jesus has given me that faith that he's in there. There's something in me that tells, that witnesses that he's in there. You understand? Am I making that clear? There's a witness inside myself. There's a witness inside me, Pastor John, that I've never had in my entire life. Amen. A witness of anything. But I have that witness inside of me that just tells me, I'm here. I have that witness. I'm here. I got you, buddy. I got your hand, man. I'm here with you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of this. I have that witness inside me. When things are falling apart, he's here. Doesn't matter if I'm alone in my house by myself. I have that witness inside of me that he is here. When those hard times come or good times come, Jesus gives me that witness. I'm here. I have you. You're my son. I'm just telling you now, when he sends you on this world, Jody, he knows where you're at. And he knows where he needs to take you. And it's just going to have to be. Now you need to have that faith that he's right there with you. He's with you. He's with you, guys. He's with you. Don't think he's not. He's with you. Have that faith that he's standing there with you. And he's going to carry you through everything you have to go through. That's his promise. And I'm done.